Here in your Bibles, Joshua chapter 11, we come to a place where we have seen many, many victories for God's people, and great, great victories, amazing victories. And Joshua and the children of Israel have battled and fought, and God has done amazing things as long as they just trusted Him. And amazing victories. Jericho, of course, the walls of Jericho fell down. Again, a miracle. Ai, the battle there, initially a defeat, but then eventually a victory. Five kings and their armies, Makeda, Libna, Lachish, Gezer, Eglon, Hebron, Debir, all of these words that Tim didn't necessarily like. There are some that just, but these are all groups of people, great armies, and there have been amazing victories. Of course, in chapter 10, one of the favorite stories in the Bible of the God sending hailstones to defeat the enemy. And then when Joshua called for the sun to stand still, in other words, they ran out of daylight and he hadn't whooped everybody yet, so he calls for God to stop the sun. And actually, scientists will tell you there's a lost day out there somewhere where God did that. And in chapter 10, verse 14, there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And then, of course, before that, obviously, he sent the hailstones and all of that. And then chapter 10, verse 42, right before we come to our passage, our text, and all these kings, chapter 10, verse 42, all these kings and their land did Joshua take at one time because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. There was no other way that it was going to take place. It was because the Lord fought for Israel. And you know what? The Lord will fight for you as well if you will let Him. I'm amazed at how much trouble and how many messes we can get ourselves into by not just letting God take care of the problem, letting God fight for us. And so I want to talk to you about, my text comes from verse 8, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, and simply the Lord delivered them. You know, God has a way of taking your problems and just making them go away. God has a way of taking the enemy and making it go away. God is able to give you victory. The Lord delivered them. Father, bless the preaching. Please speak to our hearts. I thank You for taking away my sins when I was lost and I was trapped and in bondage to sin and the chains that hold me and held me. And I thank You for taking me from that and giving me eternal life. And I pray if there's anyone here today who's lost and without Christ, that today would be the day they would come to Christ. And so please, speak to our hearts and help us again to be reminded that You are the one that gives us victory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we come to chapter 11. Of course, the Lord has fought for Israel. Clearly, the Bible has said that. And I come to my first point, number one, and that's the trouble. Isn't it amazing how right after victory, often trouble comes? It just seems to happen. And so here's this great victory in chapter 10, and we see so many great things take place, and Joshua tells the sun to stand still. God sends hailstones and destroys the enemy, and wow, what a great thing. And then chapter 11, it came to pass when Jabin, king of Hazor, had heard those things. Now he's nervous about God's people. And by the way, he doesn't have to be as nervous about God's people. He needs to be concerned about God. Today, you know, you can kind of watch God's people, and we'll probably let you down. But that is not your concern today. You need to be concerned about God and your relationship with God. Amen. And so this king, he heard those things. What did he hear? He heard about chapter 10. That's what he heard. He heard about those hailstones coming down. He heard about the extra day. That's what he heard. He sent to Jobab, king of Madon, and to the king of Shimron, and the king of Akshaph. And so now he's sending all these, he's trying to get an army together. All right? And I can imagine he's telling them, hey, look, these people are kind of, somehow they have ways to get hail out of the sky. Somehow they had a way to keep the sun. You know, you can just imagine that these armies, as they're fleeing from God's people and from the hail, you can imagine them, oh, I can't wait till it's dark. We can finally escape. And the sun just stays. Can you imagine that? Hey, wouldn't you like to have God on your side? I mean, it just seems like that would be the best way to go. Well, so he calls for all these kings. Well, then verse 2, to the kings that were on the north of the mountains and of the plain south of Chinneroth and in the valley and in the borders of Dor on the west. So this is a huge area. He's calling to all these kings. We need your help. To the Canaanite on the east, on the west, to the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Jebusite in the mountains. These are huge armies. And to the Hivite under Hermon in the land of Mizpah. These are great amount of people. In fact, the Bible says, verse 4, they went out, they and all their hosts with them, much people, even as the sand that is upon the seashore in multitude, with horses and chariots, very many. I mean, the children of Israel are in trouble. They are in big trouble. And the Bible says this, when all these kings were met together, they came and pitched together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. And now they are all assembled together, this huge army. And the Bible adds to it, they have horses, they have chariots, very many, and they've all gathered together here, and God's people, they're in trouble. You ever been in trouble before? You ever just kind of thought, you know what? There is just no way out of this. And I'm sure. But again, this was right after a great victory. Isn't it amazing how we forget that victory when all of a sudden we're surrounded by the enemy again? Isn't it something how we forget God paid our bills when all of a sudden we have more bills? Isn't it somehow we forget that God helped us when we had a health problem because now, oh, but now I've got another health problem. Isn't it amazing how we forget what God did? But wait a minute. Isn't it something how we forget that God saved our soul? We forget that God saved us from our sins so that we could go to heaven. And God has given us new life when all of a sudden we have some new temptation, new thing come up whereby we are ready to give in to some sin. It's just interesting the kind of trouble we get into. Well, the trouble is very, very clear here. They are in big, big trouble. But it's very interesting because the Bible very quickly, and we don't even really get into a lot of the battle plan here, but it says in verse 6, the Lord said unto Joshua, be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow. God makes it very clear, for tomorrow about this time will I deliver them up all slain before Israel. He said, tomorrow about this time, he's very specific, I am going to deal with this. This is a huge army. Okay, what would you have? Nuclear weapons? Do you have some tanks to roll in? Stealth bombers, you're going to level them. What? I mean, God just says, I am going to take care of it. And so it says, verse 7, Joshua came and all the people of war with him against them by the waters of Merom suddenly, and they fell upon them. The Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who smote them and chased them unto great Zidon, unto Misrath-Photh-Maim, and unto the valley of Mizpah eastward. They smote them until they left them none. It's exactly how God said it was going to be. That's an amazing victory. And again, I don't know all the details. The Bible doesn't get into a lot of the details. I'd like to know if there was some hail coming down, maybe some fire mingled. I don't know, you know. I just know this. I know that God took care of their trouble. God took care of the problem. Listen to me. We sit here today, and I realize it's a Sunday morning crowd, but most of us have been here before, and most of us have seen God take care of the trouble. We've seen God provide for the problem. We've seen God take care of numerous things whereby we didn't know how it was going to work out. We didn't know how we were going to get a victory, but we've seen God give us the victory. And so here we have the trouble, and then the trouble comes again. You know, and here God gives victory again, over and over and over. And so I come I leave the trouble and we have such a quick victory. What else are you going to preach about? Well, I'm going to preach about number 2, and that's the temptation. Because we can be so foolish sometimes. Just like God's people, and God was so clear with them. Because they have all this trouble. And time after time after time, the walls of Jericho stood and God knocked them down. And Ai stood and God knocked it down. And five kings and their armies and city after city, God gives victory. Though the walls stand tall, God knocks them down. And time after time, God delivers his people. And then we have the temptation that every one of us has faced. Every one of us has had to deal with. Because the Bible says this. I didn't read all of verse 6. It said, thou shalt hock their horses and burn their chariots with fire. Then God gave them the great victory. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, verse 8. And verse 9 says this. And Joshua did unto them as the Lord bade him. He did exactly what the Lord told him to do. What do you mean? He hocked their horses and burnt their chariots with fire. Because the temptation. What do you mean, the temptation? The temptation that we have to go back to that which didn't work. It's such a temptation to us. I mean, who gave them the victory? The Lord. It's very clear. Over and over, the Lord fought for Israel. It's very clear. The Lord delivered them into their hands. God gave the victory. And so he says to his people, he says, here's what you're going to do when you win this battle. He said, you're not going to rely on their weapons. You're going to trust me. And yet, I watch Christian after Christian after Christian after Christian try to take whatever the world has to offer and rely on that instead of on him. It happens in religion. It happens in churches all the time. You know, we're relying on the things that did not work for them. Wait a minute, the Bible is very clear. They had horses and chariots, very many. They had people. They had an army that was huge with horses and chariots. And children of Israel, we don't have any weaponry like that. We don't have what they have. God said, you don't need any of that. You have me. God wants you to understand someday, folks, you don't need religion. Amen. You don't need the world. You know, you need him. We need him. The temptation. God said, when you have victory, he said, hock the horses. That means to cut the tendons in their back legs so they can no longer run and be war horses. And he says, pile up all those chariots and burn them. Because I don't want you using what didn't work. Isn't it amazing how we, you know, for by grace are you saved through faith, right? And we get saved by faith. We call upon Jesus to save our souls. And I mean, the very first thing that happens to us, we say, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, I guess I better go to the bank. No, wait, the bank. Look, cut, hock the horse. Amen. Burn the chariot. That's not the first thing. How about the first thing? I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to go to the Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, the Bible is so clear. And I'm sure, can you imagine the soldier? Now, here's children of Israel, not a huge army. I mean, they're a big army, but compared to the enemy. And as soon as they saw the chariots coming, I mean, chariots, that's like tanks in our day, you know. It's like these bombers in our day. I mean, they saw these horses and their chariots. The children of Israel, it's like, we're going to die. You know, they're terrified. You know that. And then God gives them a great victory. And all of a sudden, now we're going to, whoa, we need those horses. We need those chariots. We can use those things. God said, no, you need me. You need me. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And we get in our mind, well, I got to have this. I got to do this. And God just says, look, I want you to trust me. And it's true with salvation. You know, here's what looks good. We say, it looks good that I work my way to heaven. That looks good. That's what by far most of the people think that you work your way to heaven. They think somehow that you have to do all these good things and get to heaven. And that all looks real good until you run into what the scripture says, that our works are as filthy rags. You mean my good work? Yeah, they're as filthy rags. And all of a sudden, you realize, hey, that which really looked like a good thing, that chariot that looks so good, that big battle horse that looks so good, it's not so good. When God says your works are as filthy rags, I guess work salvation doesn't look so hot. Waiting, that sounds like a good idea. You know, I'll just do my thing, have fun and do my thing, and one of these days I'll get saved. And that all maybe looks good until you die and you waited too long and you go to hell. Oh boy, religion, doesn't that look good? Religion looks so good. And honestly, most of the world is just, so many people are in some kind of religion or another. You know what? It all looks good. And all those things look good. The stuff that goes on TV today, in the name of religion and in the name of God, it all looks so good. The prosperity gospel. Hey, if you'll follow God, you'll be rich. It's amazing how so many people, that looks so good. Well, except Jesus said he didn't even have a place to lay his head. So where do you find that in the Bible? You don't. You know, it all looks good. And all these things look good. Just like if you could imagine the army looking at those chariots. Wow, look at this chariot. Whoa, this is amazing. And look at these big horses. Boy, this is amazing. I can imagine they gave Joshua a hard time. Whoa, wait a minute. We don't want to get rid of these things. You know, the devil will find whatever crutch he can to keep you from getting saved. That'll look good. Yeah, well, I'll go to church. That'll look good. Well, I'll get baptized. That'll look good. Well, I'll be religious. That'll look good. Well, I'll help little old ladies cross the street. That'll look good. I'll quit this and I'll quit that. And I'll join this kind of anonymous thing. And I'll do all these. And he'll get you excited about whatever chariot or whatever battle horse that will keep you from calling on Jesus to save your sinful soul. You're here today and you think somehow coming into this room will save you? It won't. You think somehow that getting in that baptistry and getting wet will save you? It won't. You think somehow that your good works will get you to heaven? They won't. It doesn't work. All the world's ideas and all of Satan's things that he has sold people on, you know, whatever crutch it is that keeps you from simply saying, oh God, I'm a sinner and I need you to save me. You know what? All those things, God says, get rid of them. Get it out of your mind. Burn those chariots. Hock those horses. Amen. That's why... You know, honestly, it is so foolish that the church would ever, ever glance at the world for help. It's so foolish. It's so foolish that we would ever. The world passes away and the lust thereof. It all passes away. We know that. Why would we ever look at the world for help? Why would we ever look at the world for anything? Why would we ever, you know, this mega church philosophy today is give the people in the world what they want. But no, God says give them what they need. Amen. Not what they want, what they need. I know the chariots and the horses, it all looks so good. And boy, that's what we need to be a great army. That's what we need to have great victory. Wait a minute. Who knocked down the walls of Jericho? Wasn't a horse and a chariot? Amen. Hey, who was it gave the victory at Ai? Who sent the hailstones? How did the sun stand still in the sky so they had an extra day? Wasn't a horse? Wasn't a chariot? Burn those things. Amen. Amen. I'm amazed how so many are glancing at the world. You know what? Why in the world would you? It's like the children of Israel. They're free from Egypt. Amen? Free from Egypt. Bondage. The whip on the back. Some of them still had the scars. And all of a sudden, remember? I miss my garlic.
I miss my melons. I want some melons and leeks and garlics. You poor baby. Burn it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. God said, get rid of those things because you're going to be tempted to go back. I thank God that when I got saved, I was under a preacher that preached, get rid of it. It was what put you in bondage. Get rid of it. Well, you know, I can still keep doing some of my sinful thing. No, you get rid of it. Amen. Get rid of it. He's made you a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You don't need those things. It's just like I was a Methodist. I was sprinkled as a Methodist. Oh, yeah. You didn't know that, did you? Holy water. That's probably dirty water. I don't know. And I was sprinkled as a Methodist. How many of you were sprinkled as a Methodist? Several were. All right. Praise God. By the way, it isn't any different than being dunked as a Baptist. It can't save you. It can't save you. Why in the world, when I realized at the age of 17 that I could not work my way to heaven, when I realized at the age of 17 that religion, I mean, come on, I was sprinkled. They had, mom and dad had pictures. I was wearing a cute little outfit. Yeah. Yeah. That couldn't save me. Huh? Why would I ever go back to that? Why would I ever go back to work, salvation? Why would I ever go back to those things that did not work for me? Why would I go back to a lifestyle that made me realize I was in bondage? Why would I go back to that? Hello? Seems like I'd shout and scream and holler about it. That's what I do. Amen. Some of you don't look convinced. You know why? It's because we are enamored. What is it exactly that caused Lot's wife to turn into a pillar of salt? She was enamored with the world. And God said, get out of there and don't look back. And she couldn't do it. She just had to look back. Right? That's why God said, burn the chariots, hock the horses. You don't need those. You need me. My friend, listen to me. Whatever your trouble today, you need him. You don't need anything else. You need him. Let it start there. He may lead you somewhere. He may lead you to counsel. He may lead you to help. He may lead you whatever. But you've got to start with him. Amen. Because the temptation is always going to be the world's ideas, the world's philosophy. It always is going to appeal to us because we're worldly. Right? I know we don't like that. But it's always going to. But what we have to do is we have to lay that at the cross. I come on, you got saved. You remember the days where you said, I have to do this. 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 And finally, somehow, God got it into your thick head. I have to trust him. Amen. That's what the Bible says. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, so walk in him. How did I receive him? On my knees by faith. Now I have to walk. That's how I have to live. Yeah, but I got to figure this out. Listen to me. The temptation is to do that. God says, I want you to trust me. I want you to trust me. Number one is the trouble. Number two, the temptation. God's delivered you. God has given you victory. God's taken care of it. Don't go back to the old life, the old world's methods. Because number three is the truth. The truth. Again, there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And the truth of the matter is, the world's way doesn't work. Come on. Remember when you got saved? You were lost. You knew you were lost. And a worldly way is how you became lost. You sinned. Right? Yeah, you gave in. You said, I want, and you did. And you sinned. And you broke God's law. And you felt miserable. I did. I felt miserable. I remember all those invitations that were given, and the preacher said, all right, you know, if you're out there and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, raise your hand, you know. Well, first he always he tricks us. You know how we preachers do. And he'd say, if you're saved, you know, give a testimony, raise your hand. And all the people raise their hand. And I'm thinking, you know what, I'm not going to lie about this thing. But it didn't matter what the crowd size was. It didn't matter if I was in the front, in the back, or where I was. You know, I knew he was going to ask that second question. I thought, why don't I just lie and raise my... No. And I mean, sweat's pouring down my face, and the heart's beating faster and faster and faster, and I'm trembling. And then he asked that question. If you were to die right now, you know for sure you would not go. You'd say, pray for me. And always my hand would go up, and I'd think, why did you do that? And the invitation, I knew it was going to be 5 minutes longer. And he's going to be looking at that long-haired hippie kid. Yeah, amen. And boy, that guilt, boy, the pressure of that guilt. I knew that I was lost. Listen to me, everything I did up to that point, it didn't take away the guilt. It didn't take away the stain. It didn't take away the fact that I was going to hell. All the things that I did going to church didn't take that away. I went to some church things, you know. I've talked about that. And I was sprinkled. None of that took any of it away. But when I bowed before my Savior and I said, oh God, I'm a sinner and I know I deserve hell. Please save my soul. And it was gone. And that worked. Amen. Because that's the only way. Jesus said, I am the way. Truth is, he is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And the truth is, you know what? As good as those chariots looked, and as good as those horses looked, it didn't help the enemy. Did it? As good as it looked, it didn't help. They were defeated. What's the Lord? What's it say? And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who smote them. Why would you watch a world out? Why would we be so enamored with Hollywood? Do you understand? The people there are marrying, divorcing, marrying, divorcing, marrying, divorcing. They are committing all kinds of adulterous sins in their life. I mean, it's just commonplace with Hollywood. Oh, if I could just burn the chariot. It's not working. Well, if I could just have lots of money. And how many multimillionaires commit suicide every year? Do you understand, folks? It's not working. Well, yeah, but if I could be popular, and all the popular people out there that are absolutely miserable, do you get it? It's not working. He knew it wouldn't work. He knew. Hey, you know what? Who else had some nice chariots and they drove them against the children of Israel? Does anybody know? Who was it? Pharaoh did, didn't he? What happened to his chariots? He found out they don't float. Right? They were nice chariots. And all, as far as we can tell, all the Egyptians had chariots. Ah, psh. Right? Well, now let's see. If the chariots could have flown, that would have worked. Or if they could have been like a speedboat, that would have been a good idea. It didn't work. It didn't work. Well, boy, you know, those mighty walls of Jericho, those are such powerful. Look what man has done, and look what God did. Right? Why would we need big walls? You need God. Why? I need Egyptian chariots. You need God. He's the one that parted the Red Sea. He's also the one that put the Red Sea back on top of the chariots. Right? Huh? The Midianites had the numbers, didn't they? Thousands, thousands, thousands. And God said to Gideon, you know what, Gideon, you've got an army right here. And Gideon said, you know, it is pretty good. You know, 30-some thousand? That's good. God said, no, that's not your army, Gideon. You don't need all those. Well, God, I'm still outnumbered with the thousands that I had. He said, no, God said, you'll be all right. Yeah, but I need big numbers. And God said, no, you don't. You know what you need? You need me. That's what he said. And he reduced his army down to 300 men against thousands. But again, whose battle is it? I'm sure Gideon thought, surely he's going to give me a bazookas. You know, all 300 will have tanks to drive. No, they all had a pitcher, not a pitcher, but a pitcher, like you pour water, a pitcher, and they had a candle inside the pitcher, and then they had a trumpet, not like a fancy trumpet like we might have today, like a horn of some animal or something, a trumpet, and that was their weapons. Let me tell you something, God's battle plans usually aren't impressive looking, but they work in people's lives. Honestly, I watch what God does, and I think, you know, nobody'd be impressed with that plan. Not many times would people be impressed with the plan. The state police comes and they say, hey, can't drive your buses. And so it's Wednesday and Sunday's coming. Right? Well, God just says, well, here's the plan right here. Paint them. What? That's not very impressive. Wouldn't it have been nice if God would just poof, made them painted and made them brand new at the same time? Listen, folks, you need to understand the truth. The truth is this. Anything man has ever done has been messed up. Anything man has ever, all the plans, all the ideas and everything, it may look very, very impressive, but God's God. And the key is what works. I'm telling you, what works. When we get to heaven, do you understand? Oh, perfect example is Chuck Pearson over in hospice and a family that loves God and that loves him. And there he lays. Heaven is soon. Wait, what did I say? Heaven is soon. I didn't say the unknown is soon. I said heaven is soon. Well, how is it known? Well, because God gave us his word and told us what it is. And there is a peace. There is a joy. People can talk about it. And it works. Are you listening? It works. But it didn't just work when he found out he had cancer. It worked when he trusted Jesus as his Savior many, 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 many years ago. And God worked in his heart and his life. Folks, listen to me. God's plans many times are not, it's not something that you would say, wow, that's very impressive. The key is God takes care of it. We again, so many religions, so many beliefs, you got to work your way to heaven. But that doesn't, next bad work is when that all falls apart, you know. Money, there you go, that looks good. But then you never have enough. You never have enough. I want to remind you, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. And those horses probably looked very impressive, and the chariots looked really good, but they actually belong to losers. And all the Egyptians have, they're the losers. They're the ones that drowned in the Red Sea. Amen. The world has so much that we are drawn to. God says, burn it. You don't need it. It won't save you. It won't give you peace. Oh, you know, I'll try liquor. That'll do it. It never has done it. Well, yeah, but the commercials show everybody happy. That's because they don't show commercials of the truth. Why? Because they want to sell it. Drugs, cigarettes, all the stuff. Immorality. Oh, that'll do it. It doesn't do it. People, it amazes me, people that commit adultery and somehow they end up leaving a good spouse and they go with the one they committed adultery with, and the whole time they're both wondering, will they do that again? Well, if they would to that one, What makes you think they wouldn't to you? Burn the chariot. Hock the horse. It isn't going to work. The worldly amusements, you know. I can outfund the world anytime. And I don't have to worry about the next morning. Amen. Amen. You know, the counselors, it amazes me. I will never forget my wife. There was a person that was in charge of children's services. And they were upset over a parent that had spanked their child, and they were in charge of being the ones to go in and take the child from those wicked parents because they spanked their child. Oh, brother, when God commands us to do that. And so this person was in charge, and my wife went to a garage sale at that person's house. Remember that? You don't remember that? I remember that. Anyway, if I don't remember, it's a great story. But anyway, went into that person, and it was a mess, and the kids were unruly, and it was chaos. And that's who's going to help us? That's who's going to help you? And, you know, people that are having marriage problems, and they go to people that have been divorced 5 times, and they're going to help you? Hello? I'm just about done. But you know, seriously, folks. Look, if we count on the world, it's kind of like so many Christians. You know, well, if we get a Republican president, you've got to be kidding me. It's not about who the president is. It's about him. Amen. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. He said, then I'll hear from heaven. I'll take care of it then. It has nothing to do. We need to vote right. We need all that. But none of that is going to make the difference. Like God rain and hail down on the enemy. Like God giving an extra day to win the battle. Like God knocking down Jericho's walls and parting the Red Sea, and like God doing all those things. I understand the horse is strong. I understand the chariot is a great weapon, but God is God. And praise God, He wants to be God in your life. We're trying too hard to go back to all the old methods. And so we come to the last thing, and that is the trust. Number one was the trouble. Number two is the temptation. Number three is the truth. That is, it didn't work before. I couldn't save myself. It didn't work. I was lost, and I knew that. And so we come to the last thing, number four, and that's the trust. It's the trust. God is wanting us. What's He saying to them? After He sent them victory after victory, you'd think they'd fall down and say, oh, God, please help me to live every day for You. Help me to walk where You want me to walk. Help me to do what You want me to do. Help me to obey everything You say. God, guide me and direct me and keep me out of trouble and deliver me when I'm in trouble. God, I trust You. And instead of that, we're looking everywhere else. Oh, I wonder what I'm going to do. I better call so-and-so. Yeah, I better find out. Well, better watch Orpah or something, right? Isn't that what we do? Yeah. Yeah. That is what we do. Yeah. Oh, I better see what Dr. Oz says. You think he's a wizard, don't you, brother? I know some of you that made that hair stand up back there. I'm just saying, God, we're pitiful. We really are pitiful, God. We really are pitiful. And so the last thing is the trust. In Psalm 20, verse 7, write it down. The Bible says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Amen. Hock that horse. Trust God. Burn that chariot. Trust God. I'm convinced that's why we go to Bible college. Honestly. Because I could not stand up here and preach this if I didn't go through it myself.
I'm serious. I've told the story so many times. The time David needed formula. Yeah, I know it's hard to believe. He was once a baby. But he was, and he needed formula, and it was 94 cents. Never forget it. Because my wife took his piggy bank. And we both wept. And she took his piggy bank and took the pennies out of it to buy his formula. Remember that? Now we're doing better. 94 cents. Huh? But listen to me. God, and always it was, God, what are you gonna do? And so you do that, and then there's bread in the back seat of your car, and you have no idea where it came from. Well, you know, I'm pretty picky about my bread. Not when you're hungry. You're not picky about anything when you're hungry. And then there was money in my little box at college. It got where I got excited about going and looking in the box. Don't know where it came from. You know, everybody should be broke sometime. Where you just have to trust God. There's nothing like it. Honestly, I mean, I'm not asking for that. But I mean, it's so easy to trust in what we see, like the horses and the chariots, but it takes faith to trust what you can't see. How are you going to do it, God? You know what? It doesn't matter how he's going to do it. He's going to do it. Who'd have thought he'd send hail? I wouldn't have thought about that. That's a pretty good idea, Lord. That'd give people a headache. Yeah. Who'd have thought that he would deliver the children of Israel from Egypt by parting the Red Sea so they could cross over? And then who'd have thought Pharaoh would be dumb enough to send his chariots into the middle of the Red Sea? What a dummy. You know? And then they all drowned because the chariots didn't do any good in water. You know, it's why so many won't get saved, because they want to do it themselves. Kind of like Naaman, remember the Syrian captain who had leprosy? And the man of God said, all you have to do is dip in the Jordan River. He said, I don't like the Jordan River. It's dirty. Well, buddy, your leprosy isn't exactly clean. Yeah, right? That's why people don't like the altar call. That's dirty. You want me to kneel at an altar and pray with people that are lower class? Right? Naaman, it's up to you, buddy. You want your leprosy or not? All right. Seven times, Jordan River. Bible says he came up, skin was like a baby. Leprosy gone. It works. Amen. I suppose next time he had some trouble, he probably dove into the Jordan River again and said, hey, you know what? This might work. I'm just saying, I got to hurry. This is just, it's just such a burden. You know, it's why people won't get saved. It's why people won't go to Bible college. It's why people won't go to the mission field. It's why somebody won't join a bus route. It's why you won't teach a Sunday school class. It's why you won't be faithful to church. It's why you won't sing in the choir. It's why so many things don't happen, because we just don't trust God enough. Just, God, you take care of this. So many times I've watched the Lord when I've been tempted, oh, so tempted to reach back. And I've watched God provide a miraculous victory. I'm telling you, honestly, whatever keeps you from trusting God today, you need to hock that horse and burn that chariot and trust him, just like you did when you got saved. Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.